ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Letter in the USA Today. Stem cell research is defensible. Under the headline, the subheadline, Honor Reagan's Principles. I have heard several people in the media recently calling for us to honor Ronald Reagan by advancing stem cell research. I disagree. Reagan was adamantly pro-life. Well, this has got nothing to do with that. I believe he wouldn't have wanted embryos slaughtered. This idiot has no idea what he's talking about. The slaughter of embryos, the embryos exist. You can't go back in time and make the embryos not exist. They can either be put into the trash can or they can be used to help a person like Reagan. They are not going to grow into people. That's not going to happen. Science doesn't work that way. So we've got two choices. We can throw it away or we can help the sick. I know there's all these religious issues in here that clouds everybody's thinking, but if you take religion out of it, you got a chance to throw something away or use it to help somebody. And the religiously insane people say, no, it's important that we don't heal the sick. I believe Reagan would not have wanted embryos slaughtered for a few stem cells to further research into Alzheimer's or any other degenerative disease, particularly when you consider more progress is being made with adult stem cell research. Let's honor Reagan by standing fast to his principles. Well, you're going to honor Reagan by telling his wife to F off. That's pretty good thinking.
From my cold, dead hands.
Here's one. Have you noticed nobody has charged Michael Moore with manipulating that Lipscomb lady, Lila Lipscomb, is that her name? Turns out, I guess they knew in advance, or they knew before I did. I read this on June 29th. Though Moore has a reputation for being manipulative, Lipscomb has says he made sure that she would not be offended by her scenes in the film, offering to remove anything she found troubling. Michael was fantastic, Lipscomb says. I hope everyone will see the film. I hope it will open people's eyes and make them begin to ask questions and start speaking up for themselves. So basically, Michael Moore gave this Lipscomb lady editorial control. She was allowed to take out whatever parts she didn't like. So it's kind of hard to charge someone with manipulation when they gave the power to the person alleged to be manipulated against. So yeah, they were unable to lay a glove on Michael for that, just like they are in the facts of the film. To this day, somewhere in this pile, I hope I can find it, but somewhere in this pile I have an objection from a Democrat about how awful Michael Moore's film was. Oh, it'd be nice if shit could show up when it's supposed to. Little article here on everybody's least favorite golfer, Eldrick Woods. They're saying, golfer's whining rings hollow. And they mentioned Tiger Woods got the final round conditions he forecasted on Saturday when he said he could overcome his 9-stroke deficit and win the tournament, and still surrendered another 5-shot to Goosen's pace. He needs to stop saying he's on the brink of something special when he's finishing in a tie for 17th. He needs to stand before a mirror and say, I'm the best player in the world.
Liar!
Until he believes it. Well, I don't know how that's going to. Lying to yourself rarely solves a problem. Needs to win a big one without Butch Harmon. Yeah, that's a caddy he told to F off. And he hasn't won a big one since then.
Untouchable. You think you're untouchable.
Mel Gibson, 48, has been named the world's most powerful star in Forbes magazine's Celebrity 100 list, thanks to the success of The Passion of the Christ. Rounding out the top five, Tiger Woods. Oh, please. Oprah, Tom Cruise, and the Rolling Stones. Well, it's not a happy group. I'll say Mel Gibson deserves it, and Oprah deserves it. Tiger Woods, he can't win anything. They want to make him the poster boy for being the greatest golfer of all time. He can barely tie 17th on a good day. Tom Cruise, yes, he's got a lot of power. He just can't act. And the Rolling Stones, once a good band, but how many decades have gone by since the Rolling Stones put out a good new original record? When was the last time Mick and Keith wrote a song that was good? Let's see, Some Girls, I think, was about 84. And then they did that one song Between a Rock and a Hard Place. So that's one song in the last 20 years, and that was real. That was maybe 87 or something. It's been a long... I'm not denying the Stones can draw a crowd for a live show, but their creativity days are long behind them.
The
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of. For the best in anti-Bush photo tunes,
check out
liberalcartoons.com, also featuring anti-Bush bumper stickers and t-shirts.
Click on
izzygual.com for those who care enough to stick the very best. IZZYGUAAL.com.
Visit
thegoddess.org. For progressive politics with a pagan perspective, try the-goddess.org, a Republican's worst nightmare.
Check out
leftwingwackos.com, where the Grand Wazoo knows all and tells much. That's leftwingwackos.com, also featuring great political t-shirts. We're fighting the battle our elected Democrats are afraid to fight. And visit bartcop.com for the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See bartcop.com for more information. That's bartcop.com.
Do it now.
Many Iraq veterans fighting an enemy within. Nearly 20% face mental disorders. One out of five combat soldiers are leaving Iraq with a mental health problem such as post-traumatic stress disorder, suggests a landmark study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. First such large survey on frontline forces' mental health. The numbers are probably slightly higher than the average because the severely wounded and others who have been removed from the units weren't included. Oh, so it's even higher than 20%. So these poor guys, the guys that signed up for what? Is it a weekend a month and 2 weeks a year? And they've been over in Iraq now for, what, 15 months? Shot at, discouraged, shaken. Geez, what a horrible position to be in. They can't come home. They're stuck in a 15-month nightmare that they can't get out of, and they don't know when they're going to get out of it. It could be six more months. It could be another year. They don't have a clue. Bush has ruined everything. Oh, my God, have you ever been in America that was this weak, this hated all around the world? I never have. Maybe you're older than me. Probably not.
I got one. I'm not sure about the other.
I was never so scared in my life. They almost killed me.
I'm sorry, but it's all right now, baby. Come on, we've got to hurry.
Don't bother.
I told you you couldn't run.
Please. I didn't want to. He made me do it. I couldn't help myself. Please. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I had no choice.
Wait, I don't have the time.
Stern says he'll push for Kerry. On-air support could carry clout. Howard Stern said Wednesday that he'll work like a dog to urge his millions of listeners to vote as a bloc for John Kerry. In a news conference that aired live on his morning radio broadcast, Stern invited Kerry to come on his show. Kerry spokeswoman Allison Dobson says she can't commit to a visit, but that Stern is quite effective talking about the job that Bush has done. Well, it may be time for Kerry to go on Stern, and he needs to go on sooner rather than later. He doesn't need to go on Stern in the middle of October. He needs to go on now, get it out of the way, in case there's some kind of business that pops up. Political analysts have credited Stern's endorsement of New Jersey's Christine Whitman and George Pataki from New York as significantly boosting their successful gubernatorial campaigns. I always thought gubernatorial was the dumbest name. Why can't they call it the governorship campaign? It's unclear whether he'd be as effective as national politics. But this much is true. Tom Taylor of Inside Radio says Stern is fiercely determined to defeat Bush. And with a pulpit that reaches 8 million daily, he needs to be taken seriously. Kerry may not be any better for Stern's artistic freedom than Bush. Oh, that's a guarantee. Kerry's not going to have a cow if a titty pops up on TV. And the Michael Powell Federal Communications Commission, but Howard will take that chance. Well, no, trust me. Anyone's going to be better than a sexually repressed, anti-nudity, strung-out, sex-starved Republican. Stern called a news conference to announce that Infinity, which syndicates the show, will add 9 markets July 19th, including 4 of 6 where Stern's show is dropped by Clear Channel. He returns to the air in Rochester, Orlando, San Diego, and Pittsburgh. The new markets are Houston, Austin, Tampa, West Palm Beach, and Fresno, and Tulsa. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's a mistake. He couldn't be allowed in Tulsa because we're too Christian, we're too Republican. We're not allowed to hear a fellow like Howard Stern. We can only hear anti-American Nazi party. As he has been doing for months, Stern blamed the FCC scrutiny in his removal from Clear Channel on his anti-Bush stance. When you criticize the president, you get thrown off the air. What does that mean? If you work at the Washington Times or New York Times, are you next? Well, no, Howard, at those papers, they know up front not to do that. That's why they praise Bush. No matter what he does, no matter how many hundreds of soldiers he kills, no matter how many trillions are missing from the Treasury, no matter how much our army and armed forces are stretched way too thin, Bush is perfect. He cannot make a mistake. Nobody that works for the Washington Press Corps can think of a mistake that Bush has ever made. Not everything is perfect about Kerry, but when I look at Bush and where the country is going, there is no one speaking out, Stern said. You've got a bunch of right-wing conservatives who get on the air every day and pound their point of view over and over, but I seem to be the only voice on that liberal radio network, Air America, which reaches four people, blasting back. Air America is doing better than they were, as proven by our recent efforts. I tried to bargain them down. They told me very politely, no, we won't be doing that. And I said, what about all those public service announcements you run? And the guy said, we don't run those anymore. We're sold out. I'm thinking, ooh. Hope this gets on by then. That's going to be on the 14th, next Wednesday, the day before we land in Chicago for the big fest. Here's a headline. Iraqi effort judged harshly. USA Today by James Cox. In this case, that's COX. The U.S. administration in Iraq was bedeviled by staff shortages, escalating violence, lack of functioning Iraqi courts, and continuing electrical power woes, congressional report out Tuesday says. In a report to Congress, the GAO details challenges faced by the U.S.-led coalition provisional authority, which is a hand job for Bush's puppet, which governed Iraq for the past year. The report was made public a day after the CPA gave control to the interim Iraqi government. It amounts to a harsh report card for the Bush administration, which has been accused by critics of failing to plan for the post-war occupation. Check these numbers out. The GAO says $58 billion has been pledged for Iraq's reconstruction. The U.S. has pledged $24 billion, and another $21 billion comes from Iraqi sources, mainly the sale of oil, and from the assets seized from the regime at Saddam Hussein. So, we've stolen Saddam's illegal booty and have sold it. I think that makes us burglars, or maybe that makes us defense. I'm not sure, but the idea, $21 billion coming from Iraqi sources, the sale of oil. While they make $100 million a day, so $21 billion is 210 days, we've been there more like 500 days. Oh, this is such a mess. Nobody cares. Why aren't the Democrats asking about the accounting of the oil? Why aren't they doing something? They're just so afraid.
Wait a minute. What did I do?
Bart's Law, number one. Don't ever tell the truth in a political campaign. People want to be lied to. They don't care if you're the best, most qualified candidate in history. They're going to vote for the candidate who stars in a fuzzy video of him playing with a family dog while his pearl-necklaced wife and your 2.3 small children watch in awe while the voiceover dude explains that this guy has whatever state you live in family values. If you doubt me, ask President Mondale how effective telling the truth is. Hate to say one about my old friend Hillary. Headline, Senator Clinton says tax cuts may be repealed. Oh, Hillary, why would you say that? Hillary said that some of the tax cuts passed since Bush took office probably will be repealed if Democrats take control of Congress and the White House next year. Big mistake. Clinton told Democrats at a rally in San Francisco on Monday that the cuts may have helped them, but we're probably going to cut that short. We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. Wrong, 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 wrong thing to say. Oh, they're going to, I mean, they already have. This is past tense. This is a week ago, but they're going to scream income distribution, socialism, Marxism, Leninism, punishing the rich, punishing achievement. They're going to go all down the same old crap. But the bottom line is, the super rich are going to have to pay their share. We're sorry that you're in a position that you're super rich. we feel terrible for you. But that's just the way things are when you're super rich. You got to give a little more than the guy that's got nothing. We're sorry. But you don't need to break Bart's law, number one. That's how you lose elections. You don't look the camera in the eye and be honest with them. Voters are little children. They want to be told we're going to Disneyland, and then you get them in the car and you take them to the dentist instead. If you tell them you're going to the dentist, they run and you can't catch them and they never get to the dentist. So you got to lie to them. Getting them in the car is the equivalent of getting elected. Please, Hillary, don't tell anyone else. Don't repeat that again, that you're going to raise taxes and you're going to take the tax cuts away, because they're going to say, oh, they're going to kill the great Bush comeback, the economic miracle that's about to come. As soon as Bush gets elected again, that's when the true payoff's going to be. You know, soon we're going to have 22 Bart's laws, and everybody must adhere to them if we're going to win. If you break Bart's law number one, we're not going to get elected. Bart's law number two, when you make a mistake to put some money in your pocket, you're going to keep making that. Bart's law number three, don't lay down in front of a bulldozer or a train to become a human shield. Bart's law number four, nothing is easy. That's the most true one ever. Bart's law number five, nothing ever works. Ever. Nothing ever works. Bart's law number six, don't ever upgrade your computer because the upgrade is designed to screw you to death. If you upgrade, you're going to lose everything. Bart's law number seven, no news outlet in America can be trusted. That's a guarantee. No matter, I would trust Jon Stewart before I would trust any other person on the television. I don't care who they are. Jon Stewart has got more integrity than ABC, than any of them. Let's just leave it at that, Jon Stewart. But please, Hillary, no more telling the truth to the American voters. They can't handle the truth. The American voter is 4 years old. You can't tell them you're going to the doctor to get a shot that's going to prevent polio. Well, I remember when I was a kid, they said, you got to have your tonsils out. And I'm going, I don't want my damn tonsils out. And they said, we're going to get a bunch of ice cream. And I'm going, well, I don't care. I got ice cream now. Why the hell would I want to set my throat on fire to get what I have now? But, of course, when you're nine or however old I was, like, I had a fucking vote. So, yeah, went to the hospital. And back in those days, oh, it's creepy. Now when they put you to sleep, hadn't been put to sleep in a while since, like, 88. But now when they put you to sleep, they just give you a shot. Oh, let me tell you about the old days. This was maybe 1963. In the old days when you had surgery, they put what looks like a strainer, like a tea strainer, it looks like about the size of a baseball. Half of it's a screen and the other half's not there. They put that over your mouth and nose and they pour chloroform or something on that. And then when you breathe, it makes you feel like you're suffocating. And that's just that's no good at all. You're 10 years old, and basically, these people with masks on and the bright light, they cut off your air. And as you're fighting for air, you pass out. That's not fun. Anyway, didn't mean to go there, but yes, Hillary quit doing that. You can't tell the kid the truth about the surgery, so you talk about the ice cream they're going to get, and you don't tell them about they're going to have to get a shot. You don't tell them about they're going to have to raise the taxes. You don't tell the stupid voter anything until after you get in office. Once you get in office, you raise taxes on the super rich, you give the little guy a break, things pick up, you get the economic miracle that Clinton gave us, then you explain to him how you did it, but don't tell him in advance.
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of.
Check out
TwoAngryLiberals.com for the finest collection of angry liberal t-shirts and bumper stickers on the net.
Click on
StupidGit.com for Bush news, humor, and more. At StupidGit, that's GIT.com.
Visit
DoYouKnow.org for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about that bad boy George W. Bush. Are you running for office?
Check out
HelpMeGetElected.com. They can help you get elected at HelpMeGetElected.com. We're fighting the battle our elected Democrats are afraid to fight. And visit BartCop.com.
BartCop.com.
For the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See BartCop.com for more information. That's BartCop.com.
Do it now.
You know, it's not big enough to make a Bart's Law out of it. I understand that now and then the press needs to conceal a source. If there's somebody in the Bush White House that's feeding the New York Times some information about Bush being crazy and he can't make up his mind and he's crying all the time and he acts like a little kid, he gets on the ground and beats his fist into the floor. If that's going on, that would be an appropriate time to leak something. if Bush is mentally unstable and can't make it through the day without throwing some pissant terror tantrum like he's a 9-year-old boy, it would benefit the country to know that. So there are times when leaks can be beneficial. But I do not like it when a source lies to you or is merely wrong, and then you continue to protect the source. Now let's talk about the New York Post lives and dies by the scoop. As you know, the New York Post said that Kerry picked Gebhardt. Oh, that would have pissed me off. That would have nearly made me give up. But he didn't. New York Post lives and dies by the scoop. In this highly competitive era of instant news, woe be it to any media outfit that ignores rule number one. There's no glory in being first if you're wrong. Bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. There's not a media outlet in this country that gives a flying F about being correct. They all want to be first. They all want to be the most sensational. That whatever the most salacious clip that they can find, that's the one they're going to run in the headline. Whether it's true or not, they just don't care. I don't know if it's before or after this, but earlier they talked about Clinton's reported history of sexual misadventures, whatever. So what they're saying is there was a report made. So we're going to bring that up and tell you it's a fact. That's what the media does. They take horseshit and tell you it's a fact. And when they get caught, they say, well, hey, shit happens. So here we go, the New York Whore Post. Rupert Murdoch's New York Post got a taste of that Tuesday morning when it reported in an unsigned story, see, unsigned, sources say, bullshit. Put the guy's name on there. Why do you protect a source that lied? Why do you protect a source that's wrong? What benefit is it to anybody for a guy? See, because that's Bart's rule number one. No, it's rule number two. If you lie and gain from your lie, you're going to lie again. If you get paid for a mistake, you're going to keep making mistakes. This guy is going to be continued to be protected by the Post, even though he lied or just got it wrong. But why don't they say, we got it from a source, we thought he was credible, turns out he's not, his name's Bob Wilson, he's an understaffer, a Cheney's chief of staff, etc., etc. That's how they ought to do this. But no, they protect the liars. I don't think that's right. By 7:30 a.m., as the New York Post had yet to be read by many Post readers, Andrea Mitchell got the scoop of the day on the Today Show, which broke in with a special report that Kerry had chosen John Edwards. Post editor Carl Allen wasn't talking Tuesday, referring calls to Howard Rubenstein, one of the New York Post's public relations luminaries. We unreservedly apologize to our readers for the error, Allen said in a statement that Rubenstein read to reporters. Allen blamed the mix-up on sources the Post believed to be correct. Oh, so you're protecting the liars again. Why do they do that? Nobody can answer. I hate that. Andrea Mitchell, married to the most exciting man in Washington, also broke Bush's choice of Dan Quayle in 1988. Fox News Channel's Carl Cameron was 3 minutes behind Mitchell. I lived for the 365 days 4 years in a row, Cameron said, comma, stupidly. This was tough, Mitchell said. The Kerry people were really determined not to have a leak. So that's probably what happened. Did you hear they made up signs that said Kerry Edwards? They made up signs that said Kerry Gebhardt? They made up signs that said Kerry somebody else? I forget who the third one was. And so maybe someone at the printing shop said, hey, I'm over here, I'm making Kerry Gebhardt signs. And so the scoop went out to the Post. But why didn't they say, according to some print shop in the Brooklyn area, you know, no, can't get any facts. It's the horror media covering for Smirk.
Bart Cop. He's better than a sharp stick in the ear. So what